In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we celebrate St. Mary of Egypt. An incredible life. And a life that was so incredible that St. Sophronius says in it that many will not believe. Because they can't even imagine such a thing as possible. It did happen. She's a real person. She fully repented for her sins. In fact, she shows us all the stages of repentance, really, from no repentance whatever, sin, to perfection in the end. And I want to go through her life a little bit, but I want to, from a specific perspective. I have noticed as a pastor that sometimes you get overwhelmed by your sins. You say, I'm a terrible person. I can't stop being terrible. I'll never stop being terrible. That's not the Christian approach to sin. The Christian approach to sin is, I am terrible, but God will help me to become good. And we see that in Mary's life. Now, in the world, people don't like to feel sinful, including people in the church. And you have to get over that barrier of acknowledging that you're a sinful person. The world doesn't like it, so the world will cover it up, either by saying that the sin is not a sin, or by covering it up by something, some distraction. And there are hundreds of distractions. I'm sure you can think of many right off the top of your head. The biggest distraction is just where people kind of bebop through life and live life without really thinking and living spiritually. Because to think and live spiritually is hard. It's hard because you get reminded of who you are. And that's not a pretty picture. But if you understand the process of repentance and God's love for you, if you really understand it, then knowing you're a bad person doesn't make you sort of want to climb into your little emotional hole and not think about it. Instead, it makes you free so that you can be healed. Now, I've told you many times before that Lent is my favorite time of year. Really, the second, third, and fourth weeks of Lent, because after that it gets really, really busy. But during the time of Lent, I can just say out loud, I'm a sinner, because the services are full of it. For some people, this is not good. They don't like it. For me, I absolutely love it because I get to tell the truth. I don't have to hide anything. I can just tell the truth in church. But if you notice our prayers, when we say we're sinners, immediately we also show that we are confident in the mercy of God. And St. Mary is a prime example, and then also the prodigal son. St. Mary and the prodigal son, of course, the prodigal son is a fictional character, right? It's a parable, but is describing the process of repentance. So in this way, the prodigal son is very real. St. Mary lived a completely heedless life for 17 years. From the time she was 12, for 17 years, she lived a life of complete degradation, of every kind of thing natural and unnatural, as she says. And as she says sort of euphemistically, delicately, she had a thirst for embraces. So she was not only a prostitute, but she also just was completely, as she says, one who laid in filth. That's what she considered to be life. So she had no repentance for 17 years. So then, when she was about 29, she decides to get on a boat and go to Jerusalem. Not to venerate the cross, which was the purpose of that trip, but because, as she relates to Sophronius, relates to Zosimus. St. Sophronius is the writer of the life, and Zosimus, of course, was the one who found her and talked to her. She said that she knew that on the boat there would be all these men, and she would be able to have many men to satisfy her passion. And so this she did. And when she got to Jerusalem, she paid no attention to anything holy. But then, at the time that the cross was going to be venerated, everybody's going there. Sinner, saint, pious person, probably Jew, everybody was interested in seeing this event. And so she went with him, but she couldn't get in. She couldn't get in because the power of God didn't allow her to get in. She was stopped at the threshold twice. And then she went to the portico, and there was an icon of the Mother of God, and it came over her. She had her prodigal son moment. She recognized it was her sins that was keeping her out of the church. And so she recognized the full weight of her sins. Not a pleasant thing to know that she'd lived in a completely defiled way for 17 years, doing things both natural and unnatural with anyone and everyone, and caused many souls to lose their way. And so when she realized this, she didn't just crumple up. What she did is just like the prodigal son. In the case of the prodigal son, he said, I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to my father, I have sinned against thee, I'm not worthy to be with you, but all you need to do is just allow me to be one of your hired servants, one of your slaves. He had a plan. He knew his sins, but they didn't crush him. Mary knew her sins, but they didn't crush her. What did she do? She said to the lady, Theotokos, although I am very unworthy even to speak to thee, help me to see the cross of thy son, and I promise I will go wherever you wish me to go after that, and I will never, ever fornicate again. And so she didn't. After the veneration of the cross, she went away, eventually got to a monastery on the Jordan River, communed, confessed and communed, and then the next day went across the river in a boat. Now, that was the last time she'd need a boat, by the way. The other time she would be able to walk on the water. And she spent 47 years in repentance in the desert. She said she didn't even see a person until St. Zosimus. Didn't even see an animal until she saw St. Zosimus. And then the lion, of course, came 2 years later and helped to bury her. She spent 17 years of that time, the first 17 years. She said sometimes she would be burning with lust. She would hear the old drunken songs that she would sing in her head. Because it doesn't matter if you clap your ears, it's in your head. Those things were in her head. The desire was still there. And so she would lay on the ground for a day and a night, until she said a blessed light would come over her. And she would be relieved of her burden. This happened again and again for 17 years. She was aware every moment of her sin and struggling to repent. Now, by her accounts, she wasn't doing a very good job. By our accounts, it was spectacular. Because she wasn't with other men. She wasn't drinking. She wasn't eating the meat and fish that she was so fond of in Egypt. She was struggling to repent, to cleanse her very thoughts of licentiousness. And in the 17 years, finally, she became able to no longer have those deep, terrible, lustful feelings. And then Zosima shows up some years later. And when she describes her story to him, and he says, speak on, mother, don't break such an edifying tale. And she says, I am afraid to speak of these things because I don't want to ever go back to them. Now, she really wasn't really in a whole lot of danger going back to them. I mean, she prayed a forearm's length off the ground. She lived it like an angel. And yet she was still remembered her sins. So this is a lesson for us. For you who have sins, which means every one of us, including sins that you can't get rid of, including sins that you're really ashamed of, including sins that you think you should be able to be rid of, but some reason you're not. All those things. Let's see how Mary dealt with it. She made a promise, and that promise burned in her heart more than the lust that burned in her heart. Fire destroyed fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of repentance, destroyed the fire of debauchery. It'll always be that way. There is no fire that you can have in your heart that is sinful that the fire of God will not destroy. You have to desire to have that fire in your heart. Or actually, as the scriptures would say, in your belly. To have that fire in your belly. Never let go of it. You'll have good days and bad days. You'll have days when you do things that you're ashamed of. But if that fire is there, you're gonna come out on the other side, just like St. Mary did. So don't be afraid of realizing that you're a terrible sinner. Don't be afraid of that. Now, it's easy to say that, I know. And it's hard for some of you to realize that, to put that into practice. Because you don't like the image of yourself that you see. Perhaps there's things about you that you don't like so much that you've buried them and you rarely think of them, but they still affect your life. So you have to be courageous and confront your sin and struggle against it. Perhaps you'll spend 17 years. Perhaps you'll spend 70 years. But God will help you if you keep that fire burning in your belly. Don't be afraid of knowing you're a sinner. Don't run away from it. Don't consider that it's morbid or bad news or a negative that you shouldn't dwell on. Instead, be like Mary. Be like the prodigal son. Say, I'm a terrible sinner, but I know that you'll help me. Be like the publican who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And on that very day, when he left the temple, he was justified. And I've told you before what justified means. We have a terrible understanding of it in Western society. Justice is not that all the bad guys get punished. Justice is to become righteous. God is just. And we are to become just. To be justified is to become righteous, not to be declared righteous. What good does it do to declare yourself, to be declared righteous if you're not righteous? That's a really dumb theological concept. It is to become righteous. And that's what we are doing right now. Some of us are doing a little slowly, maybe. We're having a lot of hiccups. We're falling down a lot. Perhaps some of us are not trying very hard right now. Perhaps you're afraid to try. Because if you try and you fail, well, there it is. I failed again. Maybe it's easier not to try and therefore not to fail. That's a psychological trick. It's not true. If you don't try, you are failing. Let's learn from the life of St. Mary. Let's also learn from what the scriptures say today. In the first reading from the Hebrews, it says, speaking about the blood of bulls and goats cleansing, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what the blood of Christ did. It didn't just declare you off the hook for your sins. It didn't just create a contract with God, which is one of the greatest heresies of the Christian age. It wasn't just a trade of Jesus dying for all of us because we deserve death and the Father requires death. It was so that we could be purged from dead works in our conscience. So that you could have that fire in your belly that says, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I want to change. And I'm going to do it. And then you'll do it. Over time. Just like it happened to St. Mary. Over time. Depend on the blood of Christ. But be courageous. I've said many times, other than, of course, love, and love's basic sister, humility, I think the greatest virtue that a Christian must have is courage. You got to be courageous to pray hard. You really do. If you don't believe me, then start saying the Jesus Prayer with great intensity. It's hard to do. It's kind of a little scary. I never feel so weak as when I'm praying the Jesus Prayer, especially when I'm praying for my flock. I feel I'm nothing. And there's this voice inside me, not a literal voice, but there is an idea inside me. It's a very strong idea, and I have to beat it down. It's like, I'm a sinner. Why would God hear me praying for my flock? And this voice wants me to stop. And it would be easier if I stopped. It wouldn't feel so hard. I wouldn't be so incredibly, viscerally aware of what a sinner I am. It would kind of go away a little bit. It would damp down a little bit. I'd be a little distracted. And I have to keep on. It takes courage to pray with intensity. And every one of you should learn to do that. Don't be afraid of feeling that you're a sinner. It's the truth. Why be afraid of the truth? God is truth. Are we afraid of God? We shouldn't be. Not in the way I'm speaking. Of course, we should have fear of God, but that's a different matter to discuss another time. God desires us to become perfected. We will become perfected. All we need to do is just make a promise and then have that promise burn like it did in St. Mary's heart. And then we will be saved. Don't be afraid of feeling your sins. Encourage it. Read such things as make you aware of your sins. For me, it's the Gospel and the Psalter. Those are my two go-tos. Every time I read the Gospel, I'm aware of my sins. Every time. And every time I read the Psalter, I am as well. And I like that feeling because it's the truth. And I like also the knowledge that if I struggle, God will multiply my struggle. And what I can't do, He can do. He will do. So don't be afraid of your sins, brothers and sisters. Take the example of Mary, who sinned more than any one of us, I would suppose. But she repented with such fire in her belly. Cultivate that fire, and you'll be saved. May God help you. Amen.